I'm so glad that we serve a loving God that's not up there with some big stick waiting on us to do something wrong so he can crack us with that stick. But instead, when he speaks to his people, he lets them know at whatever particular time frame they're in on how to operate in the season they're in to be able to accomplish the assignments that have been given. And by the way, if you don't realize that you're on assignment, then you have not understood your Christian walk. The Christian walk is just not something we just receive and we receive salvation and then we just pack our bags and wait for the good old gospel ship. Come on, somebody. No. From the moment you receive salvation, you are under obligation to be able to share that message with the people around you. What has been freely given, you are supposed to give. And as you have been given to, you are also supposed to give out. We can never forget that message in the body of Christ. And so what I want to do is I want to look in, because this is a strategic time. Anytime you pass from one place of time into the next, we step into a new year from an old year. We step from an old season into a new season, a place where we were to a place to where we're going. Anytime we're moving or making a transition, you will notice, even in the Word of God, God will send a prophet, a voice, a word, something to be able to help the people of God align themselves so they can get from point A to point B, and they can get there correctly and they can get there together. And if they get there together, then you have the right people at the right time doing the right thing at the right place, and you get the right results. And according to the Bible, that's going to be a blessing. Is anybody looking for blessing this year? And so I want to open up and I'm just going to quickly look into an Old Testament scripture that you're familiar with in the book of Isaiah 43. Verse 19, I'll read from the NIV. Now, this is God speaking to his people, a people that, as always, have walked away from God, have avoided God. But God is always making a way back for his people. Aren't you glad we even live with a better promise, better covenant with a better set of promises, where the grace of God is so good that he always makes a way back? I tell you right now, just from that statement I made, I would think people would just be shouting all over the church, because how many of you deserve to be doing what you're doing? I do not deserve to be doing what I'm doing, standing in the place I'm standing. But it's only through God's grace that I'm able to be here. I will never get to a place in my life where I take that for granted. And if I do, I need to repent and I need to fix it. So every day there's a renewing that comes, there's a reminding that comes, where we put God foremost in our mind and in our thoughts, and we don't forget, we don't want to live in the past, don't want to dwell in the past, but we can't forget the things God has done to get us to the place we are. So here he is speaking to his people, and he says three main things here. Don't miss these points, because this is how God speaks to his people. Forget the former things. Man, I could preach a sermon on just that. Forget the former things. I don't care what he said. I don't care how she did it. I don't care what it looked like. I know what you had to walk through. I know it was hard. I know it was a struggle. I know you barely got through. I know you were on your hands and your knees believing God for everything. But that was then and this is now. And if you'll pay attention, you're still here. So it didn't matter what the enemy did. It didn't matter what the attack was. It didn't matter what the assignment was against you. You are past. It is a former thing now into a present thing. Stay in the present and forget the former things. You learn from those things. You move from those things. You are able to be stronger coming out of those things. So forget the former things. Watch here now. This is for somebody. Do not dwell in the past. There's another sermon right there. Do not dwell in your past. You can never allow your past to steal away from your future. If you're living in the past, you're living behind the time that you presently should be in. So you're falling behind in God's time scale. Do you understand that? If you're stuck in a place in time where God's trying to move you from one place to the next, but you can't move because you're stuck back here, you're anchored back here, then God can't get you to where you need to be. Amen, somebody. I need you to see this. I need us to get a grasp on this because we can say it. Amen, Pastor. Yeah, all good. But we find ourselves drifting right back to the same places. God, when he's speaking to his people, he has a purpose. He has an intent. He is an intentional God. So he says, forget the former things. Forget it. Do not dwell in the past. Don't stay stuck. Why? Because he says, see, I am doing a new thing. You can't live on yesterday's manna. Nobody wants to live on day-old bread. Give us this day our daily bread. There's something new God wants to do. It's a new thing. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a new thing. Now, sometimes you can't move and you can't move on to embrace the new thing until you finally release yourself from the old thing. Okay? So if you find yourself drifting back in your thought process, where instead of looking forward at things that are coming, looking at new challenges, new possibilities, new blessings, newfound assignments, new accomplishments in God, if you find yourself still dwelling on the old assignment, the season has passed for that assignment. There is an expiration that occurs in the kingdom of God on certain things. And it has to. Why? Because the same author that makes the statement that there is nothing new, do you understand? In other words, Ecclesiastes 1:9, we listen to Solomon speak here. He says, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. But I thought he was going to do a new thing. No, you're misunderstanding. We work in cycles. And if you're growing properly, you will go through one cycle in your life. And you will go through series of events and you will learn. And he will teach you. And you will grow. And you will learn from those mistakes. And you will build on that foundation. And the next time, it looks like this. I make my circle. I come back to my circle. But when I come back to the next place, I moved up. So now I may be doing what appears like the same thing, but it's a new thing now. So now I have to walk around another circle, and by the time I make the next circle, and every time we move with God through the cycles of God, we keep going up, and we're going up, and we're moving up, and we're changing, and we're shifting. And we can't get stuck down here, or God can't bring us up here to the place we need to be. So you can't be elevated to this place when your thinking's down in the basement. Remember that cheer? Elevate your body. Elevate your mind. Say, what? Elevate your mind. Come on, you know you said that stupid cheer. I'm the only one that said that. Some of y'all had your pom-poms over there going. Look at somebody and say, elevate your mind. Look at three more people and say, you got to elevate your mind. Elevate your thinking. There's a new thing that God wants to do in you. Okay. Man, 20 years ago, I believe that I really preached some powerful sermons that were changing people and changing lives. So if you have not heard that, maybe you weren't here 20 years ago. Well, it's not a new thing. It's really kind of a thing that had been done before. But if you're sitting here and I preach it again, to you it's a new thing. So there's nothing new under the sun. But it's new in you. And so it's not a new thing that God's creating that he wants to do. It's a new thing in you that he wants to do in the season that we are in. So, therefore, when you hear a word, even though maybe the part of the church has heard it, part of it hasn't, if you haven't heard it, it's new in you, so it should do something new in you. See, our tendency as humans is we want to reach back to those things that, you know, they brought us security. How many people know those things in the past that you reach back to? Man, it was so secure then, and I remember when I had that, and we want to reach back, and we want to drag that in to our future. Why? Because we want to keep that feeling of security. So we want to hold on to the whoopee. Come on, we want to hold on to the passy. We want to hold on to Teddy. And that was cool in the season you were in, but it don't look cool at 40 holding a Teddy. It's not cool at 35 to still be sucking on passy. Some of y'all look, it's something wrong with that? Notice what the scripture says. It says, what has been will be again. And what has been done will be done again. So definitely, there is a cycle that we go through in our lives, but the same author that said that also said there is a season for everything. So, for every season, there's a different cycle. Now, I don't have time to go in and teach on cycles and all that. I wish I did right now, but just know, let me put it to you like this way. You don't plant a crop in the middle of winter. Why is it? Because the intended cycle of growth, it can't take place if it's in the wrong period of time. Does that make sense? So it is in our spiritual lives. So, how do I say it? I may reach back to try to hold on to the security I had. Let me put it this way. There was a time when my father was my security blanket. Now, I was a grown adult, but he was a security blanket that he was always there. And I always had that security. He was a pillar. So therefore, when I lost my father, I was trying to reach back because I wanted that security again. I'm talking to somebody. I hope you're listening. How many people have lost a parent? Some of you have let it go. Some of y'all are still stuck. Some of y'all are still grieving. I'm going to set you free today. I kept reaching back trying to hold it. I keep reaching back trying to feel that security, get that thing. And I didn't realize that I was climbing down the ladder to get there. And I kept understanding I'm up here trying to operate at this level, but my thinking kept pulling me back down. And you keep doing this for so long, and pretty soon you're going to get worn out. You hear me? You got to get one place, or you got to get another. It's just where you decide you want to be. So finally, I'd had enough. And I said, God, I got to have some help. I mean, I need some right now help. I can't keep doing this. It's tearing me apart. It's wearing me out. And so he began to show me. And he said, remember all those good things? And I started thinking all the good things with my father and all these wonderful times and these thoughts. And my body was euphoric. My mind was elevated. I was thinking those were wonderful times. And I started feeling that security again. He said, that was all me. Your father was just a skin puppet. And he said, remember all those things? And he started showing me the things that I didn't particularly care for when my father acted a certain way or did a certain thing. And I started going to events in my life when I didn't like when my father acted that way. And he treated me that way. And he responded, he said, that was Chuck. He said, now, are you sure you want to go back and hold Chuck? He said, I said I'd never leave you or forsake you. He said, Chuck's season had expired. I had to take Chuck. He said, but I've never left you. So every good thing, every secure thing, everything that you had in the past, it's still with you because you are still with me. And from that day forward, I never reached back to here. I always looked up, for my redemption draweth nigh. I'm pulling up. He's pulling me up. He's pulling me forward. He's pulling me into the new season. So we have to keep our thinking forward. Now, I don't know who that's for, but I can tell you right now, here I am trying to teach leadership and, you know, trying to keep positive mental attitude, and my head was down in the basement. Teaching freedom class, and we're having to reach down because we're still having pains that we can't let go from the past when there's no freedom in it at all. And I'm telling you, it's time this year we got to look at and we got to revisit our thinking. We got to revisit the things that we're holding to in the past, the things we look to in the past. The things in the past were good because they made us who we are, but former things need to stay former, and things in the past need to stay in the past because God wants to do a new thing in you. That's what his word declares. Look at five people and say, he's trying to do something new in you. See, the thing is, you have to know what season you're in at any time so the new cycle of growth can occur in that season. And I'm telling you, listen to me. It has to be declared because this is going to be a season of renewal. You might as well just go ahead and say it. Say, this is a season of renewal. Now, Paul said that there were many opportunities that were offered to him. But he said the doors of opportunity were there, but he said there's an adversary at every door. Now, I taught you that coming into the new year, preparing us for the new season we were walking in. And if you'll remember, that adversary is what stands between you and your blessing. And I'm telling you here, I'm declaring to you today, the only adversary that's left in your life is anything, anyone, or any way that is keeping you or telling you or reminding you why you couldn't do what you wanted to do in the last season. So in this season, when you step into the thing that God's called you to do and you hear a voice trying to tell you why you can't, that is your adversary. That's the one you will push past, you will walk over, you will step down, trod down to get over, to get to your blessing on the other side. We don't listen to those voices. We don't hear those voices. You will be spoken to, I'm telling you. You will hear them loud and clear. Sometimes they will come in a form from a higher up, someone we respect, maybe a boss or something. Sometimes it will be someone that you love that is actually close to you. Sometimes it will come through a well-meaning friend or a well-meaning church member. Remember, you are dealing with principalities that are working through personalities. Don't get mad at the person. Get mad at the spirit that's trying to hinder what God's doing in your life. He's doing a new thing, and no person on this earth can stop you lest you allow that principality to slip in and steal your blessing. Look at somebody and say, think differently. Now, I'm starting a new series starting next week. I wanted to make sure everybody was back before we started, but it's going to be the Basics of Life series. And it's going to prepare us to go back to our foundations. Because I don't care if you're an athlete, if it's something you're doing in your job, when you want to rebuild and get better at your trade and what you do, you have to go back through the basics and make sure that you're doing the important things first. So we're going to go through and we're going to walk through and talk through, why do we do this? Why do we do that? Why do we do this? Because if we do, we will have a foundationally strong platform, if you will, or basis on which to build our spiritual lives. I mean, the Bible likens it to building a house. And so your foundations need to be strong. So we're going to focus on that. Because why? Listen to me, I'm going to proclaim a word over you, and I want you to listen to this. In the next season, there's going to be an obvious grace that's going to be provided that's going to help you to be able to disengage yourself from some things. Did you hear me? You didn't. Nobody heard me. There's a grace that's going to be given by the Holy Spirit that's going to allow you to disengage from some things. There's some things that you've been trying to get away from. There's some things you've been trying to push away from. There's some things you're trying to walk away from, but it seems like they keep following you, or they won't let go, or the grip is too tight and you can't seem to break free. Listen to me. If you hear this word today, there is a grace that is coming to you now, today, because the word has been released, that's going to allow you to have the strength and the power to disengage from those things, to disengage from certain actions and reactions, activities and events, functions and dysfunctions, old habits and mindsets, wrong relationships, distracting acquaintances, unhealthy friendships, bad environments, hallelujah, and even certain spiritual attachments that even may be in people, places, or things. Those things have been placed upon you to strategically cause you to stumble in your past season. Can you see it? Or to prevent you from fulfilling the assignment that God has given to you, because he doesn't want you to reach your position in kingdom. We were having dinner the other night with Esther and Alonzo. And she said something. She said, well, the Lord gave me a word for this season. I said, what is it, Esther? She said, position. She said, there's something about you need to be in your position. And it just resonated with me because it's exactly where I am in my teaching and my reasoning. Because the last season, all of the strategic attacks that came against you were trying to get you out of position. Because if you are out of position, you cannot be at that right place when that blessing shows up. You can't be with the people that you need to be with when God's ready to pour out his blessing upon you and do something that he hasn't done with you. Look at somebody and say, you got to hold your position. It's a strategic season. We can learn a valuable lesson when we look at the man who's after God's own heart, King David. Watch the way the man prays. Psalms 129, 23. Search me, O God. Talking to God. Know my heart. That word know there, it doesn't mean like know, like understand. It means be intimate with me. Know every part about all of me. And I want you to come in. I basically want you to take a look. And then once you take a look, he says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Who opens themselves up to God and says, inspect me? And then I want you to test me to reveal any flaws that are still in there. Now that's a prayer. That's a man after God's own heart. Listen, I want to get to the place where everything in my life is so secure that it's worthy of inspection. And there's certain things that have to be understood before you get to this place in your walk with God. Because there's a constant battle that is going on, and you might as well address it now, you might as well confront it now, and you might as well go ahead and confess it now because it's there. And if you try to ignore it or you try to walk away from it or push it away and act like it's not there, you're going to lose the battle. It fights you every day of your life. I'll read about it in Scripture. Galatians 5:17. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. So God's Spirit's wanting to do something new in you. And the sinful nature, or the flesh, is wanting the exact opposite of that. Nobody heard me. There's a whole lot of shaking about to go on, because there's going to be a tussle. I didn't say in your mind. I said in your spirit. When God's going to do a new thing in you, everything in your flesh is going to reach out to fight it. It's going to oppose it. time for praise and worship. Put your hands up. That's good. Come on, you know you had a hard day at work. You're tired. You can't even hardly walk in here, letting hold your hands up. Well, they want me to move around to the music. I'm just going to stand here on this pew. Now, in a minute, you're going to realize why you wish you would have moved. You wish you would have praised. You wish you'd lifted those hands. You wish you would engaged in what God's trying to bring you through. But the flesh is pushing so hard. It's putting so much pressure on you that you can't do it. Now listen to me. Let me give you a quick science lesson. There's two parts of your brain that are major. One's called the paleocortex. We call it old brain or primitive brain. The old brain, it says, do I eat it, do I mate with it, or do I fight with it? It's all your basic urges, kind of like a marriage. That's a whole conference right there. The paleo way. Then there's a new part of brain. It's called neocortex, and that's what we call the educated brain. It's where you see a child, he's got some basic instincts. He's not thinking about nothing. He's thinking about me, the unholy tribe, right? The unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. It's all that baby thinks about because he's operating out of primitive brain. But then there's a higher brain or an educated brain that starts learning, and it starts putting the old brain or the primitive brain in the cage. That's why the Bible says you need to renew your mind. What are you renewing? Because you start doing things that were giving urges to the primitive brain. Because if you start stimulating the primitive brain, then it starts building pathways that are getting stronger. You give into those desires. See, all the enemy's attacks are always toward primitive brain. It's always one of those urges and that flesh and that, I want something, I got to have it, and I got to have it now! So that's where all the attacks of the enemies come into. But the problem is, if you give into a spiritual urge, then it reinforces that pattern in that pathway. This can be physically measured with a microscope. The pathway gets more and more efficient. We call it neuroplasticity. And now the pathway is stronger, and the next time it's harder to say no. That's why when people have been doing stuff 20, 30 years, sometimes overnight it doesn't go away. And they think, well, I asked for deliverance, God. You've been doing it 20 years. There's got to be a process. Sanctification is an event, but it's also a process. Yes, he sets you apart. But my God, that's why we got 3/4 of the New Testament trying to teach us how to walk it down. You got to detox. You don't just take somebody off drugs, they'll die. You got to work them down. It's your detox program. You got to walk it down. No, you're not going to get it all right the first day. Walk it down. Just keep working it down. Keep renewing it. Put that thing back in the cage piece by piece. Let those. The cool thing about neuroplasticity is, remember the thing in the body that says you don't use it, you lose it? Well, if you stop doing those urges, the pathways get weaker. And they don't talk to you as much. And they don't talk to you as loud. So pretty soon they turn into whispers. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. How many people have heard that scripture? You've heard the scripture, but did you hear why? I was hearing about repent. Why? It's going to help somebody right here. If you haven't heard anything else I've preached today, please pay attention now. Just gently bump your neighbor and make sure they're still awake. I just don't want them to miss this part. Tell me when you're ready. So that the times of refreshing. Repent. Why? So when you repent, there's a time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Three people understood what I said. Let me help you. A minute ago, I told you when the flesh starts talking to you. Raise that hand. I'm tired. Move around. I don't feel like it. It's because you are stuck in your weariness. God is trying to get you into his presence. Why? Because the times of refreshing come from being in the presence of the Lord. So when you lift the hand, it's a little bit of refreshing going on. You lift both hands, you get a double dose. You start moving around, start praising and worshiping. There is a time of refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. That's why we praise and worship. That's why we enter in. That's why we preach the word in the Spirit of God, because we're trying to get a new mindset. Repent. Repent. What does it mean? When you look at the word, it's the word, and listen how it's pronounced. It's metaneo. Metaneo. Jesus said, metaneo. He said that. You didn't know Jesus talked like that, did you? He didn't talk in Greek, but that's the language it was translated in. Metaneo. What does it mean? It says, I repent. The meaning says, I change my mind. Listen to this. I change the inner man. That's the comprehensive definition of this word. And when you break it down, it means you got to think differently. The opening message Jesus brought to this world. John the Baptist, the forerunner, started with repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus comes on the scene and says, repent, 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 for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Change your mind. Think differently. Come back to the ways of God. And we always think of that, well, we got to come back, because if we don't, we're going to live in sin, and then we're going to get judged, and we're going to go to hell. And you know, that might be a possibility for those of you who are not saved. But what about all of us that are? Why are we repenting? Sin and the Holy Spirit cannot cohabitate. He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of absolute truth. So truth and non-truth do not cohabitate. Paul said, walk in the Spirit daily. Why did he say that? Why? Because when you walk in the Spirit, you are in the presence of the Lord. When you are in the presence of the Lord, there is a refreshing that comes from being in that presence. So you will be strong and not grow weary. That's why the scriptures point to the presence of the Lord. The new thing God is trying to do in all of us is he's trying to keep his spirit of refreshing upon us. Why? Because we're so beat up and weary from the seasons of the past. We've been so tired from all the stuff, all the COVID, all the world, all the nonsense that we have to live in every day, that we are weary. So a spirit of heaviness settles on the crowd. And how does the Bible say you fix that spirit? It says you make an exchange. And what is that exchange? A spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. We're back. We made the circle. Because when you praise, you are in the presence of the Lord. And when you're in the presence of the Lord, there is a time of refreshing that comes upon you, so you're not weary from your past. You're walking in the Spirit because you are being refreshed. Therefore, you're not weary as you go through your day. Is anybody getting this today? I sure hope it's helping you. It's helping me. But if we walk around and we're so yoked up in the sinful nature, then we get stuck in the presence in our weariness. And we never get the refreshing we need to help us to move forward. Once you're refreshed, you will know what true freedom is. Once you were refreshed, you will walk in a freedom that you've never known, and you will have the ability to do the things that God has called you to do. Search me, O Lord. I believe this year that God wants to do a new thing in every one of us, not just one of us, not just me, not just them, all of us. But he wants to come in through the door of repentance and refresh our minds, our bodies, and our souls. Somebody say, God, do a new thing in me. If you believe that, give God a shout of praise right here. Come on, if you believe it, stand up to your feet and say, God, I'm ready for a new thing. Say, God, I'm ready for a change. Say, God, I'm ready for you to do what you need to do with me. I give you full permission. Search me, oh God, if there be anything in me that needs to change. Please, God, I want all that you have. You know, Jesus, got over 614 rules, laws, regulations, tenets, and he got it down to two things. What's the greatest commandment? Love God. It all starts with your love for God, and there can't be anything between you and him. You may have things between other people, but that's not where it started. He said you got to love God first. Then we love each other. But you can't love each other right until you love God right. If there's something not right between you and God, there's going to be something wrong between you and people. You're never going to get it fixed. You're never going to get it right. You're going to keep circling and cycling. You're going to keep going through the same old thing over and over until you get it right with God. God wants to do a new thing, but you got to get it clear between you. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And what I've learned in life is if you love somebody, then you'll respect them. But until you love them, you can't respect them. And watch this, then once you respect them, then you'll honor them. But you won't honor them until you respect them. And then you won't respect them until you love them. So why are we not honoring God with our life? We got a love problem. There's something in the way. Something we're not getting fixed with God. Let's get it fixed today. We're going into a new year. He wants to do a new thing. He said, and I said, forget just whatever it was in the past. He's not trying to punish you. He said, forget about it. So Somebody said, say, forget about it. Just forget about it. Don't dwell in the past. What does that mean? Stop living for yesterday. And live, not even for today, live for tomorrow. You should have some things you are expecting from God. And put those expectations out there by faith and live for that. Your future is in front of you, not behind you. You won't find your new thing in the last chapter. You'll find it in the next chapter. So now, God's word always brings us to a choice. Anytime you read a truth, it will reveal the untruths in your life. And then it causes you to have to make a decision. Watch this. By not making a decision, you've made a decision. I've asked this question many times. Would you rather choose Jesus and have life and salvation, eternal life, living a life that's refreshed by the Spirit because you're guaranteed the promises of God? Or would you like everything else? He says, you're either hot or you're the cold. You're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. In this season, there's a season of grace. I don't know how long the window will be open, but it's open now. That's all I know by the Spirit. And now you have to make some decisions. Some of us, we got to divorce ourselves from some things that have snuck and got a hold of our life. Some of it's going to be food. Some of y'all are going to have to let go of the, you know what I'm talking about, lock the Twinkie box. Some of us, I know he's your friend, I know she's your friend, I know you're besties. But really, he or she's the worstie. Not the bestie. It's the worstie. And so, you're going to have to let them go. But there will be a grace here to be able to do that. Pastor, I've tried to walk away from food. I've tried to walk away, but I couldn't do it. Well, that was last season. Don't dwell on the past. That was last time. I said this time there's a grace. This time there's a grace. This time you're going to do it. This time you're going to have the strength to do it. You got people around you this time that are going to help you. Now right now your mind should be faced with lots of decisions. If not, I didn't do my job up here. You should be thinking about the things in your life that need change. There's only one person in here that can make that change for you, and that's you. Because the minute you give it to God and say, I want it changed, it will change. And until you do, everything in your world will be the same. I didn't come this far to only come this far. I don't know about you. I didn't walk this far down the road, go through as much as I had to go through for this to be it. Somebody say there's got to be more. So this year, coming into the new year, God wants to do a new thing in you. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? And now this is the part I love the most. And this is the part where actually you get to put action to your faith. If you believe what I just preached, then the Bible says faith without works is dead. It's pointless. Not going to accomplish anything. But then I can also say the exact reciprocal of that. But if you have action to your faith, then it will produce. And so, you're the only one, you and God, that knows what's going on in your heart. You're the only one that knows the desires you're facing, the problems you're having, the challenges you're up against, you know. The difference between you and God is not only does he know that, but he knows the things that you don't even know are coming. He already knows the challenges you're about to face. So I don't know about you, but I'd like somebody that's already out there looking ahead for me. And if he's going to order my steps, that means he's going to order me away and around those things so I don't have to deal with them myself. So if you're sincere in what you believe and you're ready to make the next step and say, I'm ready to let the past be the past and I want my new thing, then I'm going to start with those maybe who have never made Jesus their Lord. Now, you may have talked to Jesus, but you never said, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. And I'm going to be loyal to you now. And you're going to become my first love. If you've never done that, you're missing the greatest opportunity of a life. And I want to give you that opportunity. Romans 10 and 9 makes it so simple. It says, all you have to do is believe it in your heart. Everything I've told you is true. Then you have to confess it with your mouth when you pray. And if you'll do that, I didn't say, God said, you'll be saved. It's done. And then your past will be in the past because it will be forgiven. So if that's you today and you're here and you say, Pastor, I kind of like that deal and I'd like to have that. I'm not going to bring you up. I'm not going to embarrass you. In a little bit, we're all going to make a prayer together, and when we all say the prayer together, I just like to know who I'm agreeing with when I'm saying that prayer. So if you're in here today, Jesus was not ashamed to die for you in public and be humiliated in public. So I don't think that you should at all be bashful or shy about saying, no, I want to be a believer. Because I'll tell you right now, I am. I'll put my, how many believers we got in here? See what I'm talking about? Now put those hands down. Now for the rest of you, if you're in here today and you'd like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when we make that prayer, just can I say who you are so I know who you are? Don't be afraid. Just lift your hand up for me. Let me see. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? You say today, Pastor, I want to go. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? I just want to know who I'm praying with. Let me look over on this side. Anybody? Let me look. Anybody want to raise your hand that I can agree with in prayer? Remember, once you do it, it's done. You're agreeing with God. Don't walk out of here like you came. Don't waste a moment that God has ordained for you. I'm going to look down this row. Is there anybody else that I missed? Lift your hand. Anybody that didn't raise your hand before? Anybody else over here that I missed? Want to raise your hand? And then finally over here, is there anybody else that raised your hand that I missed? Thank you. I appreciate that hand. People are so honest. I love that. Now, there's another group. And this is kind of an awkward place to be. It's like, man, I don't know what happened. I said the prayer. I believed in God. But for some reason, your life has caused you to stray. Listen, we've all been there. We've all strayed away from the Lord. And thank God the grace was there to bring us back home. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I want to get things right. I want to get back to where I need to be with God. If that's you, let me see you lift your hand so I know who I'm praying with in that prayer. Thank you for the hand. Thank you for the hand. Anybody else? Thank you for the hand. Thank you for the hand. Thank you for the hand. Anybody else? Just, you know, today's the day to be honest, man. This is, if you want the new thing to happen, you got to start being honest. Forget your pride. Forget who's looking. Well, they'll think this. They'll think that. Well, they're already thinking that. You just don't know it. See, most of the time we think our things are hidden. People know. So let's just get it all out in the open here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, that's me too, Pastor. Yeah, there were hands up all over the house. So there's a lot of folks in here making some good decisions. Now, I want to ask you one more. No, you're not strayed from God. No, you love God. But when I was talking, you were thinking of all kind of things that you know that you could do better. There were all kind of changes you were thinking, man, I need to do those things in order to get the new thing in my life. But you're willing and prepared to make those things happen. You're going to make the right choices. Can I see who those hands are? Yeah, there we go. And say, I'm going to make it happen. Say, with the Lord's grace, I will do it. All right, let's make the prayer. I want to do exactly what I said. I want to pray for everyone. So everyone, bow your head, close your eyes, repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and ask you to come into my heart. Fill me, cleanse me, make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I am a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home, and you are my Lord. I believe it, and I confess it, and that settles it. For it's in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Come on, let's rejoice across this house as God is doing a new thing in his people. And glory to him. Now, before I sit down, I'm going to ask something. When the new thing, which has already been released, starts working, there's going to be a grace for energy and sustainability and the desire now to want to do things. Because that's what God does when he starts speaking to his people. He starts getting them ready to do the work that he has them called to do. What I'm asking for is your bishop, is I'm asking for commitment. We're all busy. I don't know anybody that's not. But are we too busy for God? We have a house here that we work together. There are people out there in need. And it's all of us are the ones that are going to make a difference out there. Can't be just one of it. It has to be all of us. And we work together to get that done. So we have different departments. We have different things, different activities that are going. We're outreaches, all types of things that we're doing. I'm just asking, please this year, will you listen for your assignments for God? Let's pull together a church and let's make this the best year that we've ever had. Let's change this whole city that we're in right now. Let's change this whole area. Let us be the church that everyone's talking about. We've been there before, but we're going, that was in the past. We're going to blow that out of the water. When we walk through this town, we want this town to know that we are here, we love, support them, and we are making a difference by being the people of glory to him, the church of glory to him. Amen. Come on, can you put your hands together if you can? How many people would lift your head and say, Pastor, I'm committed? Let me see the hands. I want to see the hands of the commander. I want to thank you for your commitment. I want to thank you. I want to honor you from the leadership here at Glory to Him. We appreciate you. And before I step down, I want to tell you one more time, I think you are the best sheep in the world. And we love you. God bless you.